Chapter 8. Jason heard Vergere's story in silence as he squatted on his heels on the resinous floor of the coral ship. He did not answer her question, but instead asked a question of his own. "Where is Onama Seacoat? I've never heard of a living planet." Vergere shrugged her narrow shoulders. "It left," she said simply. Jason stared at her. "I felt Seacoat's goodbye. I had saved it once, but I sensed it was under a new threat. The planet had hyperdrive engines. It was capable of going into hyperspace. So it fled." Jason blinked. "Where did it go? I remind you that I have been away for a number of years. I will not venture to guess." Jason rubbed his chin. "One hears stories of planets that move, but usually in the same tap calves and from the same people, who tell you of the cursed palace of Zabatu or old Admiral Faray's ghost ship that plies the Daragon Trail." Vergere gave a sniff. "I do not venture into tap calves. I would not hear such stories." Jason gave a quiet smile. "No, you venture into more dangerous places than bars." Roger's crest feathers rippled. "You did not answer my question. Did I do wrong on Zonama's Seacoat, or did I not?" "What I think," Jason said, "is that I'm still worried about my sister." He knew perfectly well that Vergere had told her story at this moment partly in order to distract him from his anxiety over Jaina. Vergere made a sound somewhere between a snort and a sneeze. She straightened her legs and reared to her full height of slightly over a meter. "You haven't been paying attention." "I have. I'm still thinking about it. But I'm also still concerned about Jaina." Vergere made the noise again. Jason's thoughts returned to the mystery of the vanished planet. "I've never heard of Zonama Seacoat by that name, and if your warning ever reached the Jedi Council, I haven't heard of it. But then it's not likely I would have. We haven't had a Jedi Council in more than a generation." "What became of it, then?" Vergere paced back and forth before Jason, the patchy feathers on her frame fluffing and then smoothing again. "Perhaps you can tell me what has happened to the Republic in my absence. Tell me why the thousands of Jedi Knights I expected to contact on my return no longer exist. Why there are only a few score half-trained young Jedi in their place. And what all of this has to do with this Sith Lord you mentioned on Coruscant, this Vader, your grandfather, whom I remember as that turbulent little Padawan, Anakin Skywalker." Crouching, Jason watched Vergere's agitated pacing. He shook his head and gave a laugh. "Well," he said, "you'd better sit down again, because this is a very long story." This time Vergere sat in silence while Jason spoke. When he was done with his bare narrative, she asked questions, and Jason replied as completely as he could. At the end, they were both silent for a long, long moment. Finally, Jason broke the silence. "May I worry about Jaina now?" "No, you may not." "Why not?" Vergere straightened and approached the coral ship's little control station. "Best to worry for ourselves," she said. "We're about to fall out of hyperspace. When we arrive in real space, we'll be near a well-defended world of the New Republic, guarded by fighters very jumpy after the fall of Coruscant. We are in a Yuuzhan Vong vessel, with no means of contacting these trigger-happy defenders, and we have no defenses and no weapons." Jason looked at her. "What do you suggest we do?" Vergere's feathery crest gave a little flutter. "Foolish question," she said. "Naturally, we trust the Force."